بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We attach importance to anything after recognizing. We don't recognize, we don't attach the importance. You understand, recognize wealth, the might of wealth, the power behind wealth, the influence behind wealth. You understand it. And because we understand the power, the might, the effect that wealth has, then we work for it, we fight for it, we spend years for it, we can travel overseas for it, we can go to court for it, we can fight with our brothers and sisters for it, father and son can fight for it, because we understand the might, the power of wealth. We can leave one country, go and settle in another country. We can break up relationship. We can do a lot of things. And they say it also, money makes funny. So when you recognize something and you recognize the power behind it, then you show the importance. Proportionately, you show the importance. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala wants us first to recognize power. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَلَوْ لَا تُصَدِّقُمْ. We made you. Why don't you believe? Look at that human being and look at his appearance. Look at the organs. Look at the internal. Look at the external. The perfection, the precision, the completion. How perfect, how comprehensive, every respect. You can't add anything to it. As though you can't add anything to it. You got two eyes, and you put a false eye. You got one nose, you put a false nose. Would it look nice? You can't add anything to it. Perfection, precision, comprehensive. So Allah Ta'ala introduces himself, says يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. All matters he arranges, he plans, and he administers and regulates everything from the heavens to the earth. It's his planning, his administration, right? And the ulama say that the point where the administration starts off is the arsh. From there everything descends. Because the arsh is the furthest point. To the heaven, in the heavens, that's the furthest point. In fact, the arsh covers the entire heaven. You can imagine now how massive, how great that arsh must be. Heaven is like the sky, right? It envelops the entire universe, right? Doesn't it envelop the entire universe, right? And in all this, the sun looks like a small ball in a massive field, right? Then you see some of these stars, etc. And the scientists tell you that for its light to reach the earth, it takes 100,000 years. Just the light. Right? And then they say some of it takes so many thousand light years. And how fast light moves. Can you imagine now, what's the expanse? Luqman alayhi salam was advising his son. So in the process of him advising the son asked, Abba, you know what? If I do a wrong, in total secrecy, unwatched, unobserved, nobody around, will Allah Ta'ala see this? Now it is, you pick it up. Allah Ta'ala, will he see this? Absolute secrecy, darkness, concealed, and nobody's around. absolutely nobody. So I'm not afraid of anything. So when there's no fear of anything, and I've committed a wrong, right, and I got no fear of the law, nobody's around. Now, will Allah Ta'ala see this as well? So the father answers and he says, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُوا مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخَرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. That if that deed, you know, when you talk of مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, you talk of something that is very, very minute. So it's like a proverbial thing. See, you know, you say, a cat has 9 lives. Proverb. It doesn't mean you got 9 lives, took out 1 life, got a second life. It's a proverb, right? So, in Arabic, when you're talking of something that is very, very small, tiny, minute, then you talk about a mustard seed. So, even if the deed was as small as a mustard seed, so small, right? فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ, and then concealed within a rock. أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And then look at the wideness of the expanse of the heavens, right? Somewhere in the heavens, somewhere lost in the earth. يَأَتِي بِهَا اللَّهُ, Allah Ta'ala will bring it also, He'll bring it to for account. So can you imagine now, understand the greatness, the glory, the majesty, magnanimity of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Nothing escapes His eye. Nothing escapes His attention. يَدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. And then again, ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ. On the day of Qiyamah, everything comes back to him. Everything is presented before him. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. This is the knower of the seen and the things that are not visible. He knows what is visible and he knows what is not visible to you. Everything is visible to him, but there's a small thing, a minuscule that is visible to you. And to him, everything is visible. Nothing is hidden to him. ذَلِكَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. Nothing escapes him. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is beyond him. So, ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُ الْفَسَنَةِ. Everything is presented before him. Now, the reason for crime is either the unconsciousness of the presence of Allah Ta'ala, or that we just ignore it. We understand that He's conscious, that He knows, right? But we just ignore it. So the reason for committing the crime is the unconsciousness of the presence of Allah Ta'ala, or that we just are totally ignoring the fact. Know it that Allah is watching, but we just disregard it. So that's the two reasons for committing wrong. But if someone has got the cognizance of Allah Ta'ala, the presence of Allah Ta'ala, all the time, right, then he can't commit a wrong. Alright, the ulama say that whilst you're in an act of ibadah, then have the presence of Allah Ta'ala at the highest level. Such as the ruku and the rest of the ibadah, then you have the cognizance, the presence of Allah Ta'ala at the highest level. And similarly, when you're wanting to embark on a wrong, then to have the cognizance of Allah Ta'ala at the highest level. But out of that, then don't have it at a very high pitch. When they're talking about having it at a high pitch in namaz, or the time that you're committing a wrong, what they mean in namaz is what you can manage. Don't force that presence of Allah Ta'ala. Don't force it. Because if you're going to force something, you will not be able to sustain and maintain it. Force it, bring it. So now, if you're going to force, and you're not getting it, so you'll frustrate. And when you force and do something, then you may do it maybe in one namaz, but to maintain that for the next namaz and the third namaz, you will not be able to do it. When you won't be able to do it, you'll become despondent, and perhaps you'll just leave it out totally. So there they say, alright, just keep it at a manageable level, casual, manageable level. So if you didn't get it at a very high level, then you don't become despondent. And if it came, then you make shukr, alhamdulillah. Right. Azizji Rahmatullah gave an incident, you see. See, the Masnoon voice, وَمُقْسِمْ لَنَا مِنْ خَشْيَتِكَ مَا تَحُولُ بِهِ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ مَعَاصِكَ. We talk of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, right? But at what level? At a level that fear of Allah Ta'ala must intervene, must come a barrier between us and the wrong. Right? And now, especially in these days, when committing the wrong is so simple, man says, I can't sleep. So because I can't sleep very easily, then I watch things, then I go and sleep. So this is the type of story they give, you know, I can't sleep, the wife is fast asleep now, and I can't get my sleep. So to get my sleep, then I look at these things. And death is such an unpredictable thing. About today, this morning, Yusuf is telling me that his Nana's friend, right, in Tugela, is some Mr. Wali or something, Haji Wali or something. Right? He just read his Maghrib namaz, made the second salam, and he fell and gone. He said salam to the world, not only to the malaika on the left and the right. Normally we say salam alaikum to the malaika, mu'mineen on the right, and mu'mineen and the malaika and the jinnat is on the left, right? He made salam to the world, permanent, gone. But you see how it comes. So, the dua that is taught to us, لَمُقْسِمْ لَنَا مِنْ خَشْيَتِكَ مَا تَحُولُ بِهِ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ مَعَاصِكَ. It becomes a barrier between us and the wrong. So we need to have a barrier. Otherwise, the sin is an embarrassment. It's a disgrace, right? To fall into a sin is a disgrace. A man is going straight all his life, right? And somehow, he fell into some sensual guna, right? Now if you just read the type of mail that you get, you know. I just hate my father. Why I hate my father? Because he got some girlfriends. And all my uncles got girlfriends. Because I just hate them. Now, you know, and therefore I ask, you know, don't tell me the names. Just read the emails. I can just read without having, without casting any aspersions against anybody. I don't, unless I need to know the name. Sometimes there is a genuine need to know the name. You know, because you want to answer the person according to his level. If it's a person that is, he doesn't know anything, and you are talking to him at a very high pitch, very high level, it will just go above him. So if you know the person, then you can talk to him at his level. So, saving yourself from guna, apart from the adab and the consequences in the hereafter, it is also a protection for your own reputation and respect. Really, so deen is really a blessing. And nowadays I say, boy, you know, the world is going in opposite way. You know, before it was going, there was a system in the world. Now it's going in reverse. Before there was a system, and now it's going in reverse. Everything is reverse. So, comes to my mind that you must make this dua, Rabbi najjini min al-qawmi zalimin. Allah, please, we beg you to protect us from the zalims. Man is innocent and he can just get implicated off the cuff, he can just get on the turn, he can just get implicated. Just use one word, now they used it against it, opened up a case against him. We're just using one word, can't it happen? Something small, insignificant, you didn't think much about it, and a case just opens out against you. And then you can pull, you can stretch after that. But you see the zulm that's carrying on. So because of the zulm that's carrying on, so nowadays you have to continuously make Rabbi najjini min al-qawmi zalimin. Asiya, she's amongst the four women that are outstanding, right? Maryam alayhi salam, Khadija, Fatima, and Asiya, right? That's the wife of Fir'aun, right? Radiallahu anha. But they are the greatest of the women of the world. So, when she was confronted by the zulm, the cruelty of her own husband, so she made this dua. فَبِبْنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Grant me a home in Jannat. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ الْقَوْمِ. Fir'aun and his planning, his strategy, whatever he's doing, and from all the zulm that they are perpetrating, Allah save us. So I ask you, aren't we supposed to be making this dua nowadays? You know, dilo jaan ke saath. You don't know what, how you get implicated. You tried for something good, and you just got implicated, and that thing just begins to drag and drag and drag and drag. So how much we are in need of this dua? Abina jini mina qawmi zalimin. But everything is going in reverse, and you can just get wiped off. You're wanting to be innocent. You're trying to be innocent. And then now you just got reeled into a case. And now you are being hunted. Can it happen or can't it happen? And it doesn't mean if someone else got hunted down, then we must rejoice. And so now because of this, therefore he got hunted down. But you could be standing in the line. Why do you feel so confident of yourself? And that person, now, he did this, therefore he got caught by it. But what about yourself? Do you ever think like that? See how the thing is going in reverse. So, for this, you also have to be very careful of the tongue. We'll come to this dua just now, right? One pious person now. So he's making dua. Allah Ta'ala, you know, give me rosy, but without any effort, you know. Allah, give me rosy, without any effort. Now, you mustn't make dua like that. Make dua that is prescribed in the hadith, or make dua that is normal, not abnormal. You know, make an abnormal dua, you think you are bright and smart, and you may cause a problem for yourself. So he's making dua, Allah, give me a rosy, but without any difficulty, no problems attached. Now, the police were looking out for one criminal, and they picked him up, put him in prison. So I said, Allah, what happened now? He said, well, you wanted rosy, you wanted food without any effort. So you're sitting there in prison, right, 3 meals a day, only Allah Ta'ala to obey, no rent to pay. But you made this dua. You could have just asked Allah Ta'ala, you could ask for rosy, right? In yasuluka ilman nafiya, wa rizqa wasiya, wa shifa'a min kullida. Ask the dua that I prescribed in the hadith. Now you're going to concoct some dua from your own mind, and maybe you missed out something, and then you put yourself into problems, right? So this dua, لَمَقْسِمْ لَنَا مِنْ خَشْيَتِكَ مَا تَحُولُ بِهِ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ مَعْصِيَتِكَ, right? That fear must be at that level. See, so there's two things that we learn in this hadith. That you don't ask for unlimited fear. Because you ask for fear unlimited, that you can't maintain it. It can become a problem for you. What happens now if I die now? What happens if Allah put me in Jahannam? So you're in the state of anxiety all the time. Allah doesn't want that. That don't you treat Allah, don't you think of Allah as though he's like a wild dog can attack you at any time. It won't be like that. Yes, but you don't become complacent. Now when you don't become complacent, you won't become complacent if there is something that is a barrier against the guna. But there is no barrier then. So you need that barrier and protection against the wrong. Azaji is explaining one incident, right? Now some of these incidents, right, now I have to tell everything in tafsil. Because people's understanding is gone, right? That already you're coming on the right, understand that you won't come straight away like this Buzrug Aladdin. So I heard this incident, now I want to become that Buzrug. But the complication comes about, where it comes about, is you want to become like that, and then you want to insist on your household to become like that. So overnight it's not going to happen. Yes, understand that's the goal, and try and move to that end. But overnight you want to change things around, you want to capsize things in the house, and your wife leaves you, and then, can you manage? So understand where you are. Those Buzrugadi, they could manage with the wives leaving them. They could manage. But are you at that level? When you're not at that level, then try, cooperate, encourage, give us some incentive, whatever, some presents, and bring them on. But now you want to go and you want to take a high jump, and then you can't maintain the thing. So come, but come slowly, come gracefully. Take some mashwara and move on. Don't do things independently, you're going to create problems. Right? And don't take a high jump, you may break yourself. And don't become complacent because you won't progress at all. So you have to progress, you have to come on. But come on, understand, right? There's a complication. Right? At the beginning of your life, you also wanted that type of woman, right? And you wanted excitement and all that, so you took her. You all took her, she took you. So you all wanted some excitement. So you know, alright, you all started off in a messy note, right? Except that you started off in a messy note. Now to clean up the mess, it will take time. Now you want it to be cleaned up immediately, it can happen, but then be prepared. If she walks out, then be prepared for it. See? You know, things can become difficult. One person was here, over 70 years of age, right? So he's quite wealthy, he's alright. But now he had a problem, wife passed away, got a problem. Now he has to maintain the business, children don't want to be with him, and he has to prepare the food 3 days, three meals that he has to prepare. So he's got a full day's work, come home, prepare the food, and then get to bed. See? So you want it to that level of perfection, ask yourself, are you perfect as well? When you're not perfect, then try and cover up. That's why the hadith says, saddidu, try and come close. And he says, وَلَا يُشَادَّ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ. You're not going to come perfect. But try, go on trying. So the hadith doesn't want to discourage you and make you despondent. But it doesn't want you to become complacent as well. So try, keep trying. وَقَارِبُ أَنْ gain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. Now you don't try and remain complacent or try and overdo things and then you can't maintain the thing. Then shaitan will create despondency. So اللَّهُمَّ اقْسِمْ لَنَا مِنْ خَشْيَتِكَ مَا تَحُولُ بِهِ بَيْنَ مَعَسِكَ. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want you to fear, like how you will fear a lion. Uska koi thikana nahi. Pata nahi kab hamla kar le. Hey, we don't trust this thing. We don't know when that thing will just charge us. So don't have that type of fear of Allah Ta'ala. Yes. Yes, that amount of fear, that it intervenes, it becomes as a barrier between you and wrong. So you have that hope, that love, and the confidence in Allah Ta'ala, but not at a level that you become too overconfident. فَلَا يَأْمُنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُ. Become overconfident, not everything is mine. That attitude is wrong. I don't fear anything. No. فَلَا يَأْمُنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُ. So in the old days, it used to happen that even kings, monarchs, etc., they would identify a buzurg and they'll come periodically, they'll come meet them, right? Convenience, whichever time, they'll come. So this king comes to meet that buzurg. So now, in the presence of the buzurg, he saw something like a tablet or something, herbal, you know. So he said, for the fun of it, let me just taste one. He took one, he's gone home. Now, or a woman, the king, what they want? Pleasure, enjoyment. So all his wives finished up, all the slave women all finished up, and he's still charged. The charge is not breaking. Finish everybody. He's thinking, hey. Now the waswasa went into his mind. Ya, ye buzurg, yahan tanhai mein bair karke kya karte honge? This buzurg is living in the isolation. What he must be doing here? That's why he's there, is the isolation. Now I understood his secret. Right, anyway. Now after some time, he came back to the buzurg. Now the buzurg made out, this person has got something up his sleeves. He can make it out. And he knew that he took this thing here. So the buzurg is now teaching him a lesson, you see. Well, now, you teach the lesson through an illustration, through a life example, that thing gets very well settled in the heart, see. So there must be a life illustration. So the buzurg tells him, you know what? I just thought about you, and what my heart says, that you just got about 40 days to live. I don't think there will be any adjustment to that. 40 days. And after 40 days, you're going. Now, that king is getting ghabrat, you know. Said, but don't worry, be relaxed. You still got your prince there, you know, your son. Just make him the waliya ahad, you know, make him the crown prince. He will take and manage all the affairs. Just teach him the ropes, how it's done, right? So, just teach him, right? So, in your preparation for the akhirah, because you've got just 40 days, so he can manage some affairs, right? So you don't have an overload over yourself. But because you're going to be exerting yourself in ibadat, so you'll need some additional energy, double bull or something you'll need. So take 40 of this, right? Take 40 of this for every day. So you'll get that additional energy. Now he's gone home, and on the calendar he's marking 1, 2, 3, and as the Buzurg is prescribed him, he's taking one tablet. Now he's counting 39 days, so he's already seeing Malakul Maut. Ab aaya, kab aaya, when that Malakul Maut came? 41 day came, now he took a breath. Now he's going straight to the Buzurg. But Hazrat, you promised me that 40 days time I'm gone. So the Buzurg asked him, but I want to know from you one thing. See, in this 40 days, you exerted yourself in Ibadat, right? And you had, I'm sure you had that energy, right? But I ask you, did you ever approach any of your wives in this 40 days? He said, no, not even the thought passed my mind. Why? Because Malakul Maut was lingering over my head. He said, you still had that expectation that Malakul Maut will come after 40 days. I don't know that I'll live to see the next second. Now that knocked some sense in his mind. Acha, this is how this Buzurg is controlling himself. You see, so you need something to intervene, to come as a barrier. Now as we are approaching Qiyamah, so the onslaught of the wrong also will be heavier. Because now Shaitan is thinking that all the signs of Qiyamah are coming in, as the hadith says, right? So I won't get a better chance. I need garaks. I need customers to join me in Jahannam. Right? So I need to release everything. Cell phone, social media, and everything. WhatsApp and everything. I must release everything, every type of vice. And the vice may be so, so easy and accessible. At the press of a button, I can do vice. Right? So Shaitan is opening up all these avenues of guna, so that he's got some company in Jahannam. Otherwise, he don't want to be toasting and roasting all alone in Jahannam. He doesn't want that to happen. He wants company, companionship. So now when he wants companionship, then how much more careful we need to be. And on this side, the hadith is saying, by bring about that fear, but that amount of fear that becomes a barrier between you and the wrong. A fear that you love Allah Ta'ala, you respect Him, but that is the barrier between you and the wrong. It's like the Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib says, he says it's like in the presence of your father, right? Someone very respectable, father or your mother or something, right? Very respectable, you hold them in high esteem because of the love, the compassion, the kindness that they had shown to you. You hold them in a lot of respect. So in their presence, will you do anything that's wrong? You don't do it. But is it because you fear that they will kill you? No. But the fear that kindness, that compassion and love is overwhelming you. And because of the kindness and the love that is overwhelming, you don't want to do anything that is going to hurt them, right? See, but my father did so much for me. My mother did this much for me. And I want to go and spoil her feelings. I don't want to hurt her feelings. Don't you have that? In my words also, I don't want to say something that's going to hurt her feelings. So, this is the required amount of fear. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك. Now, we are talking about Allah Ta'ala introducing Himself. يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض. And then all these matters are regulated from the heavens to the earth for every individual. There isn't an individual or there isn't a thing which is not recorded. The whole itinerary has been recorded. Whether it's a bacteria, single germ, or it's an elephant, or it's a whale, everything is in record. Nothing is out of record. ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِكْدَارُ. And everything is going back to him. Now, they're standing before the judgment seat. And the judgment seat is such a seat, right, that there will be total, absolute justice. The hadith says the justice will be at that level that if a horned goat had knocked a goat that was hornless, that thing also have to pay for it. Although after that it will be reduced to sand, right. But for the injustice that's done, it will have to pay for it on the day of Qiyamah. Even though it could say, we are goats, we don't have the level of intelligence. But in meeting our justice, Allah Ta'ala will have the justice done at such a level that why did you horn this one here? And until you didn't pay for that, until then you'll be alive, and then you reduce to dust. ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِكْتَارُ ذَلِكَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. Right. So now understand that we're saying, see, this is Allah. See, Allah speaks about Isa al-Islam. And then he says, Dhalika Isa ibn Maryam. Kaash ki hum Arabi achhi tarah se jaan lete. You know, he gives the whole description of Isa al-Islam. Dhalika Isa ibn Maryam. Now look, this is my Isa. Allah is praising, extolling his virtue. This is my Isa, see. And though the whole picture is, Allah has captured the entire picture of Isa al-Islam. Al-Azizur Rahim, exalted in might. His might is so is such that nothing is above him, nothing overwhelms him. Alladhi ahsana kulla shay'in khalaqa. Whatever he's created, he's perfected it. Right? There's perfection, there's beauty in all what he's done. If there is a way to take in, there's a way to take out. Right? If there's a way to come into this world, there's a way to leave the world. Right? And I say that even leaving the world is beauty. Because after you reach about 55, 60, 65, then you say to yourself, mera sab kuch dekh liya, I've seen everything of the world. Everything I ate, every place I visited, every type of pleasure and enjoyment I had. Now what else has the earth got to offer me? Before 60 maybe, I didn't see this, I didn't see that one, I didn't see this thing here. I don't know what's the enjoyment in this. But after 60, 65, I saw births, I saw deaths, I saw happiness, I saw gloom, I saw excitement, I saw darkness, I saw everything, right? So now, as though the mind is saying, Allah, Allah, now I want to be in another plane. Right? Well, like a child, he comes from 15, so he says, now I'm enough of this lonely life, now I want to be paired up. 18, 19, 20, I want to be paired up. He wants to go through that excitement, the experience of marriage. My one cousin, so when he got married, many years ago, over 35, 40 years ago now. So when he got married, so he comes from a little bit of a more wealthy background, so they were for a honeymoon, right? So after one day he was back. Now, the family got all the money to afford him the best type of honeymoon. But one day's time, he's back. So, who tell you what happened? So, no, I stayed, I looked at her face, she looked at my face, and then after that, say, you know, what else? You know, in the family home, there's so much of interaction, mixing up with this one and talking to that one. There's so much of activity, right? Now, the whole day passes. Because for that happiness, you don't need only a change of environment. But you need people that you can be familiar and you can talk easily with. Now in a total different type of an environment, you're not familiar with the people, now you're going to talk to them. Now you start a conversation with them. So now I saw my wife, she saw me, now what? He wants some additional excitement. So he came back home. Just one day was enough. So now a lot of this excitement is just made up. It's a made up thing. I went here, you know, at Cape Town I went, you know. And you know, the cable car. But do you know the people? Do they know you? Is there any familiarity? No familiarity. So that's why Allah Pak says, وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. That when Allah Pak admits you into Jannat, then you will know Jannat and the precincts of Jannat, your home, better than you know your own home here. So the people will be so familiar, whether it's men that are your attendant or your wives, whoever. But the familiarity will be much more than the familiarity that you have with the people presently. Alladhi ahsana kulla shay'in khalaqa. So you see, so if there is a beginning to life, there must be an ending to life. To continue the excitement, to continue the love, the understanding, familiarity. So you need that to continue. When Mona Yunus Sahib passed away, rahmatullah alayh, so they asked me to give some words, right? So some of the Muris were crying and all that. And the talks are going on, and the people are crying even more now. You know, sometimes you talk and you can incite the crowd. And if you want, you can also bring the crowd down as well. Right? Something, you know, the crowd is getting incited. And I don't blame whoever is giving the talk here because the emotions are running very high. When the emotions are running very high now, they have to express it, right? But now that won't be the solution. I'm giving you a chance to express that. Now, alright, you expressed your sentiments. Now, how to come back? So Allah put one thought in my mind. I said, see, alright, we are deeply affected by the loss of a great, great personality of the world, right? But now, we are looking at the story from one perspective only. We are looking at it from the perspective of what a man we lost. Right? And he must be thinking at the time that he was leaving the world, you know, how many people I lost that I need to meet? I got my father, I got my mother, I got my sister, I got so and so. What about them? And they on their end, they are saying, alright, you know, you guys in the world, you are so enough of him. It's our chance now. Give us our chance also. You all have your turn now. Now what about our turn? So you all saw whoever you all needed to see. But now don't they also have a right? So now, some days later, some ulama said, but where you got from? Which kitab you got this one? I said, no kitab, from mine I got it. So he said, it's a wonderful one. But it's a reality. I asked him, isn't that a reality? That there are other people on that side waiting for you as well. They also want to know news. What happened now? What's going to happen? Right? So they also want to know what's going on in the earth. Right? So you see the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. Excitement. But just think of the beauty, the love, the compassion of Allah Ta'ala. We don't think about these things. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ. You look at anything that Allah has created, so beautiful, precision. The eye is created like this. If it was any other style, then would it look nice? It wouldn't look nice. So the way it's created is the most beautiful. أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ. By, we made you from dust, from clay. So remember, you are dust, you're going back to dust. Think about it, what you are and where you're going. And this must be a continuous thought in your mind. Sometimes you live an imaginary life. Flying here, going there, and all that, whatever. So you think that you're flying very high. And that flying high creates a certain type of a feeling in your mind, I'm very high. Only to realize, I'm dust going back to dust. I'm dust and going back to dust. Allah doesn't like this. Barai ka kalima Allah Ta'ala ko pasand nahi. Thinking great of yourself, talking much of yourself. Allah doesn't like this. He detests this thing. And it's my experience. A lot of times I've seen this, right? I won't tell who now, but many times I've seen. When a person tries to show himself up, then Allah disgraces the person. He brings embarrassment to the person. So about 25, 30 years ago, one person is working in an army environment. So he's got a slight promotion. He's got a promotion now. He's sitting in his office. So there's a knock on the door. Straight away he took the phone. He's talking in a style, we just closed the deal with Mr. So-and-so for $50 million. And this one, we're buying this latest armament here. He's talking a heavy story. Taking the phone, he's talking. So, as he left the phone, so he says to the person that knocked the door, come in, you may come in. Sir, can I help you? Yeah. No, I just came to connect your phone. You see, you talk so high, and the amount of embarrassment and disgrace that you bring to yourself. So just understand that you are dust, and you're going back to dust. And that's enough. I tell you, if you think that you are dust and you're going down, but it's enough to cut you to size. That is why Abu Zubaydin liked that you stay amongst the rank and the file. Don't live in an exclusive environment. Only this type of people. Because you'll begin to think like that. You'll be living in an illusion, in an imaginary world. And you're living with the rank and the file, all types of people, wealthy, poor, average class and all that. All types of people. Now one person is dying here, one person is getting sick that side, one ambulance coming here, there's a robbery this side. So this is life. You're seeing everything. And your child that is growing up, he's also exposed to the reality of life. But if he's living in a total exclusive environment, sometimes he can't face up to the reality of someone dying. Now, he falls into a depression, take him to a psychiatrist. He must counsel him. He can't accept realities. But you're living in this type of community, there's a happy occasion here, there's something gloomy that side, something happy that side, right? So he's seeing
All sides of life, all dimensions of life. Some poor person coming here, some wealthy person. So all sides of life he's seeing. And he's learned to accept life as it comes. My Nani, rahimahullah, full agree with me. So she used to say, you know, don't ever addict yourself to good food and good living. Very good living and very good food, don't you make yourself dependent to it. And she would say that, you know, if you become dependent on good living, good means high class living and high class food, and if you don't get that, then you'll steal, borrow, beg, make false promises just to maintain that life. But if you say, hey, today I got masoor, alhamdulillah, tomorrow I got roast, alhamdulillah. So you can take the hard, you can take the easy. You don't force yourself, you will not get into a depression, you will not get into a sense of despondency, you know, or depression. It came, alhamdulillah. And now the children this day have to be reminded, right? If they made mug in the house, then just be comfortable with that. Alright, I want to achar, it's alright. Right. But I say, Kari sahab and Hafiz sahab, but don't eat too much achar now. Your voice is going to crack then. Namaz time, Tarawih time, you can be, achar karke khaya, aa karke khaya. Right. Sometimes I advise my family, you know, too much achar. So you also eating, though? No? Said, is who so bad? Is your brother? I'm sitting with you also, you're eating that thing. How do you expect me to restrain? So, simplicity, that simplicity of living, simplicity of eating. So you can adjust, especially a man, and especially in this day and time, right? A man, see, when you got a child, a son, then it's a man that you are growing up. And a man is supposed to be able to take life, any type of situation. Sleep on the floor, you can do it. Go out in Jamaat, you can do it, right? Go to another country and do some business and come back. He can manage everything. He can adjust himself. But now if you cushion him up like a girl and then you want him to face up to life and he can't manage it, that's your problem. What you have put into this child, yeah, that's what he's doing. So he's seen everything. Right? Now you come on 2 years, that's one problem. And the second problem that people get into is, now you come on to the defense of your child. From infancy, defense of your child. So the child understands, well, no, I could do as I want because my father comes to defend me. Now, are you bringing a sense of justice in the child? If he got smashed down for some wrong, then you can't defend him. So now, understand, well, this is a consequence of what you did. Or they hit you a little bit more than what you deserve, but you understand now that you must be fair as well. Now, just coming through the sides of the child, not understanding what the child does, now you're creating a problem for the child. See, so you create when you bring up a man, a boy, then understand that he has to face life. When he has to face life, he must be able to take up with all things. So ذَلِكَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ وَبَدَى خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ. So we're talking about clay, right? Understand that. I feel that's more than a lesson. It's a very great lesson. Going to the Qabristan, think, I am dust, this is dust, and everybody is going back to dust. So this high flying and all that, but forget that, you dust, you're going back to dust. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ. Then again, another point to teach you humility, right? The progeny of mankind, Allah Ta'ala allowed it to continue with the essence of a despicable fluid, right? So look at your beginning, what is it? Aren't you a despicable fluid? So that's your beginning, understand that. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَلَهُ لَا تُصَدِّقُونَ. Allah Pak says, how nicely he says it. I just can't get over the verses. It's so magnificent. You read it and you want to read it. You think about it, you know, keep thinking about it. It must be the Malikul Muluk. It must be the kalam of the Malikul Muluk, the king of all kings. Otherwise, if it was anybody else's word, there would have been a termination point, you know, that excitement, the happiness would have terminated at some point. But when he's the Rabbul Alameen, Malikul Muluk, he's the Rabb of the world, then there's no termination point to his kalam. It was on Buzurg, Arab Shami Buzurg, Abdul Aziz Dabbagh, rahmatullahi. Total ummi, couldn't read Quran Sharif at all. But very great Buzurg, right? I talk about over 1,000 years ago, so at that time, they have how systems and all what we have now. They didn't have at that time. But he was a buzhurg in his own way, he was a very great buzhurg. So, people got to know that he can make out, he can identify and distinguish the Quranic verse from a hadith, from a man's word, from a buzhurg's word. So, how you identify? You say, if it's a buzhurg word, I'll find a little bit of noor in it. Hadith, there's a noor, but the noor is stretching. But it's got a point where it terminates. But where it is, the word of Allah Ta'ala, no termination. See that? Ma nafidat kalimatullah. That ocean and everything can dry up, writing the words of Allah Ta'ala. But the words of Allah Ta'ala can never terminate. Like the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, the compassion and the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, it doesn't have any shore, it's shoreless. Right? No end. So same is the word of Allah Ta'ala, it's got no end, it just continues and continues. From yesterday till now, so I explained two ulama, right? As I see, the Quran Sharif, one haqq of the Quran Sharif is to reflect over the contents of the Quran. Right? To reflect over the contents. I say, I know you got a very tight schedule, very busy. But take out some time, and even if it means 3 lines of the Quran Sharif, or 4 lines, but think, what Allah wants from you? See, it's a message of Allah Ta'ala, right? And when a message, then I need to think about the message. What Allah wants from me? I don't want to be a big mufassir now and make my own comments. But there are verses, there are two types of verses. One that relates to commands, right? Commands, etc. That's leave for the mujtahideen, they will do that, right? The Imam Abu Hanifa. So I don't want to pretend to be what I'm not. They had that knowledge, so they could make ijtihad and make the tafsir, etc., right? But in the light of the tafsir that they have given, right? Now I need to understand, what does Allah Ta'ala want from me? Like Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ, right? And then he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ فِي اللَّهَ تَعْلَى. Because Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of what you're doing. He is fully aware of what you're doing. Just look at the verse. So when he said, fully aware of what you're doing, what realization he wants that you must build up in your mind? What realization? What he wants? I'm fully aware of what you're doing. What he wants you to do. So think about it. When you think about it now, that means you are communicating with Allah Ta'ala. He's talking to you and you are responding. Otherwise he's talking to you and كَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You're just going past, ignoring the words of Allah Ta'ala. And I told some ulama, see, I feel the void that you feel in your life nowadays, the void, the emptiness, you feel there's a void, you feel there's a vacuum, you feel there's something not right, it's because perhaps that you're not thinking about the word of Allah Ta'ala. And whereas Allah Ta'ala is saying, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ. Doesn't he say that repeatedly? He wants you to think about him. His message, he's giving you a message, and he wants you to think about the message. Think about it. What he wants. What does Allah Ta'ala want from me? The founder of Darul Uloom Deoband, Al-Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanutwi Rahmatullah Ali, and the ulama in his zamana, they asked, you know, but we see you have excelled every other alim, right? The ulama of your time, but you haven't seen so many kitabs, etc. But that when we listen to your talks, your kitabs, you have excelled all your contemporaries. How come? What happened? So he says, you know, I don't know much about me, right? But now you are insisting, so I have to release something. So he says, you see, when I come across a Quranic verse or hadith, right? Then I don't just go and get into the grammar. The necessary grammar, I need to know, right? But after that, I don't get deeper and deeper and deeper into the grammar. Then I want to know, what is the message of Allah Ta'ala? What my Allah Ta'ala wants from me? My Allah Ta'ala, He's talking to me. And when my Allah Ta'ala is talking to me, and what is my response? Have I ignored my Allah Ta'ala? Or I'm looking what my Allah Ta'ala wants? Am I ignoring His message? Or I'm taking Him lightly? Or I'm really thinking about what He wants from me? Now imagine, you know, you see that you hold Him in the highest esteem, but then do you show Him that type of respect? He's talking to you, and you're not showing that importance, you're not showing that respect. So therefore, you don't find that fulfillment. Otherwise, the Quran itself was shifa'ul lima fi sudur. It's a cure for everything. Whether it is an external problem or it's an internal problem. The Quran Sharif is saying it's a shifa, it's a cure. So it's not curing you from your illnesses, whether it's spiritual illnesses, whether it is physical illnesses, it's not curing you because you're not thinking about the content. So Allah Pak wants these verses, when I say it's about commands, etc., they leave for the Imams and the great Mufassirin. But those that relate to Qiyamah, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The omnipresence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of Allah ta'ala, Jannat, Jahannam, the Qudrat of Allah, think about what Allah Pak wants here. That everybody can do. بَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ تِينَ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينَ ثُمَّ صَوَّاهُ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْءَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Right. Then Allah Pak says, we shaped him, right? We gave him a shape. And the best shape that Allah Pak blessed is the shape of the man. فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ, the best shape, best form. I tell you, right, you saw a cap now, right? A beautiful, beautiful face. But I say, do you want your face to be replaced with a cat's face? Do you want that? So, Allah Pak has given you the big, best form. From all the creation, the best form is given you. سَوَّاهُ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْءَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ الْأَفْئِدَةَ. And I say this repeatedly, right? You know, they want to try to explore Allah Ta'ala, right? Where everything started from, right? But I say they haven't yet discovered the basic things, and they want to go and explore the heavens. They haven't explored what is death. Any scientist can explain what is death. They don't know what's the mystery of death. What's the mystery of life? They can't explain up till now. Up till now, what's the mystery of life? What is life? They can't explain. What's the mystery of sleep? They can't explain it. What's the mystery of a dream? They can't explain. Simple things that you do every day. The mystery of happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment, what it is exactly. Can you tell me what it is? Where it is? Can't. Intelligence, the whole brain, the whole human, humankind, the nucleus is the intelligence, right? But they can't explain that, where this thing started from. Where that inspiration comes from, they can't explain that. So when you can't understand the basic things that you come into contact every day, then where you are trying to do, to explore Allah Ta'ala, right? But just go with the simple things. Understand it is Allah Ta'ala that is the creator, He is supreme and can continue with your life. Otherwise, tumhari zindagi nikal jayegi and you wouldn't have made any progress. When you go into this type of things, then your whole life is spent, but you didn't do the basic thing, what you needed to do, we haven't done. Sawwahu wa nafakha fihi min ruhi wa ja'ala lakum sam'a wal absara. He gave you all the faculties. Faculties that you could progress. Right? For the progress, you need three basic faculties. Eyes you need, right? Can you progress? Science, technology, industry, anything for that matter, right? Anything for that matter. You want to invent, right? You don't have the faculty of sight. Can you do it? You can't. So all the faculties that you needed to sustain, to maintain, to progress, is given it to you. He's given you sight. He's given you the ear, right? If you didn't have the ear and the sight, could you progress? Could you invent? Yeah. Could you adjust to situations? You can't, right? So that was the first, the second faculty that Allah has blessed you. Well, afida, and the faculty to reason, understand, see things in perspective, analyze, extend an analogy from one situation to the other, to that situation. So, who has given you these faculties? وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. So when He's made you the supreme creation, absolutely supreme, you got control over the land, right? Any other creation has got control over the land. Control over the air. Any other creation has got the control. Control over the waters, right? He's given you control everywhere, He's given you. Over every other creation He's given you. The whale you can control, the elephant you can control. So you can't talk of a creation that you can't control. But now when we made you the supreme creation, then we require, we expect you to give us the supreme service and submission. That cow we have created, right? We have created that cow to provide you meat. And see how diligently it's doing its job. You're taking a walk, right, in the morning. You see that thing eating from the meadows, right? When you're returning in the evening, that is still eating. So Allah Pak has assigned a job where you become fat and provide meat. But don't you see how diligently he's doing his job? So the sun is doing his job, the moon is doing his job, the animal is doing his job. But if you don't do your job, I ask you, aren't you a disappointment? Every other creation did its work. What he was created for, he did its work. But you didn't do your work. Aren't you a disappointment? Aren't you a disgrace? So therefore Allah says, قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. Your problem is, you got no appreciation. See how Allah is talking to us. قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. No appreciation. That's where you come from. No appreciation. You're not looking. آگے پیچھے کچھ دیکھتے نہیں. You don't think, right? قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. And the height of your disappreciation is, you even forget there is a thing like accountability. قَالُوا أَيْذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَيْنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. You begin to say these type of things. That when you are disintegrated, lost in the earth, right? In the particles of the soil and water, when you're lost, totally disintegrated, scattered all over. So, say, أَيْذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَيْنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Can we be resurrected when we are totally lost, disintegrated? Can we be brought back again? But I tell you, if there wasn't a thing like Qiyamah, and there wasn't a thing like resurrection, I ask you, would there be any meaning to life? There was no meaning to life. Would there be any importance to justice? Why must I be just? Why must I be poor? Why must I be honest? Why must I be truthful? Because it's only life. So you will make the statements what kuffar make. Kuffar make the statements, make the best of it whilst you are alive. Enjoy the most. Right? As though they are saying, insinuating. What they are insinuating is that there is nothing beyond death. So whatever you want to enjoy, enjoy now whilst you are alive. By the actual time to enjoy was after death. وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ لَيِّ الْحَيَوَانِ. Allah Pak says, real life starts at that point. Now you made this point your real life, right? Whereas I just explained early on, by the time of you reach 50, 60, then you saw everything of life. You went and seen places, you saw the sunshine, sunrise, you saw the colors, different colors and all that you've seen. Everything you've seen. You tasted everything, you enjoyed everything, you've seen the sounds, everything you did, right? So now you're looking for another plane. So I said, there's no meaning to life. There's no meaning for justice. That I can rob, I can cheat, I can kill, I can do everything. Because there's no such a thing like a plane where there's going to be total justice. Then what's the need for me to be law-abiding? But there's not going to be any justice beyond this life. So I will be just, I'll be honest, I'll be truthful, because I know that everything is accounted for, everything is recorded, and I'm totally answerable. The smallest to the biggest, I'm answerable. So I'll be careful of myself. See the plan of Allah Ta'ala. I tell you, the world can only function if there is the concept of answerability. See, all the corruption that's happening doesn't have to be this in this country. The whole world now, anybody come from any part of the world, and they'll tell you the problems in their side of the world. They'll tell you, we have our own problems. You have your trials, we have our trials. Right? They will tell you, anywhere now, there's trials. Just that, because we don't see those problems, therefore each one feels, I got the biggest problem. So everybody's got his fair share of problems. So what he's saying, أَيْذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَيْنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. So this concept that I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala will bring everything in place. And minus this concept, you'll have to have more police, you'll have to have more security, more checks and balances, everything more. Because there is no concept of akhirat. Make a plan here, I can make a plan here, I can make this work here, I can make this work. Why? There is no concept of answerability. I'm not answerable to anybody. So is there anything that's going to force me to conform to the law? Conform to the Sharia? Anything? Is there anything? I got that suspended in my mind. Everything must conform. Because I'm answerable. I don't want to be put into a spot and be disgraced. Small little business, and I don't want to be implicated by SARS. So I'll see all my book work is right. Doesn't happen with big companies. They want everything to be right. So you declare everything and see the book work is right. So they're so conscious and they're so aware about the might of SARS that everything must be done. So when you're so aware of sars, then the creator of sars, how much more aware should you be with him? بَلْهُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. That's the problem. Allah says, you don't have this right, and the entire world will be in a disarray. The entire world will be in confusion. The whole world will be chaotic. Whole world. Where this chaos starts, it starts at the point where you don't believe in a life after death. That's where it starts. Then you go into philosophies and all of stupid things. Of every stupidity, we make it a philosophy. What? Stupidity, we make it a philosophy. Right. The old Indian, right, stupidity took him from Allah Ta'ala to a monkey, right? Monkey, right? And the modern scientist, he also reached by the same point. Same point, monkey business. And old Indian also, monkey business. Right? And the scientist, again, monkey. See, when you move away from Allah Ta'ala, that's the business you will do. My friend Sayyid Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, very nice, pleasant person. He used to do his job lots and all that, right? So he got a parcel. So now, everybody come and gives a parcel, he's selling. So now, old, new, whatever state now, he's got it, wherever in his wholesale. So now, one high school principal, that's a little bit biased, you know. So he was the Hindu, very biased against Muslims. So he's sitting there, and now he's got that habit to start off a conversation, a religious conversation, start off, inside. Not understanding, Sayyid Sahib is very calm, but when he'll get you very well. So Sayyid Sahib just kept quiet and carried on. Now, from one of those parcels, one cockroach came out. When it came out, so his principal got up to trample. Hey, when he went to trample that thing, he said, hey, what are you doing? That may be your father. Well, that's the belief, right? Reincarnation. Reincarnation is the belief. See, so when you leave out akhirat, then you go to monkeys. You do all stupid things, all funny things. And the stupid things you make it into a philosophy. Everything becomes a science, philosophy. You give the name of science and philosophy, and people get overwhelmed. But whereas you look at it, it's absolute nonsense. Up till now, they can't find a simple example to prove the theory of this. They can't. So one person will prove the theory. But now the whole university, school, all flooded with the same thing. See the stupidity, where it takes you. So the stupidity, you will give it, you will camouflage it with science and philosophy, giving it a name. But the stupidity will remain stupidity. If you cover sewage with, what do you call that, green thing? Moss. Sewage, but you cover it up with moss, looks too beautiful, right? But inside it is sewage. The sewage will remain sewage. So the stupidity will remain stupidity. It will remain the stupidity, right? Though you cover it up with the veneer of science and philosophy. But the fact is that stupidity will remain stupidity. Madness will remain madness. No matter what type of a veneer you cover it up with. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. So again, Labak speaks about maut, right? See where he starts off. And where is ending? Which starts off and where is ending? Remember, right? You are denying this thing here. But remember, nobody in this world is forever and was forever. Everybody had to come to an end. No matter what type of gymming you did, what type of jogging you did, what type of diet plan you followed, what type of healthy food living you followed, everything, very healthy. But that health program and the gymming and exercising, anything, whatever you have done, but did it give you eternity? But it must bring you to an abrupt halt. One person explaining, man was in his shop, taking a walk, and he just fell down dead, cars, age 45. See that? How suddenly he just come, wealthy man, prosperous, everything. He was walking in his shop, and he just fell down, and cars, khuda ke pyare ho gaye. See that? Yatawaffakum malakul maut. Understand this, right? You can be flying high and doing everything, but that thing is unescapable, inevitable. That end you have to come to. Malakul maut alladhi wukkila bikum. That malakul maut that is assigned to you. Right? Now, malakul maut, he's got a whole host of malaika. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِتُ أَيْدِيهِمْ. So it's not just one single farishta that is doing work. He's got a whole host of malaika that's working under him. So if 1,000 people's life had to be taken at the same one single time, then it's done, it's accomplished. Straight away it's done. And they do it so perfectly, there is no second of delay or no person is taken before his time. Exactly at the time that Allah Pak has destined, it's gone. يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. You can talk a lot about yourself, but you know that you cannot explain the mystery of death. So how can you understand the mystery of that's after death? When you don't understand death, then can you understand the mystery after death? Do you want to make it tangible, see it visible? That's a trial. You don't understand death, but you know there's a death. You don't understand life, but you know there's life. You don't understand intelligence, but you understand, you accept this thing, like intelligence, right? So like you don't understand the mystery of death, but you accept there is a death, similarly, there is a life after that. And who comes to terminate by the instruction and the command of Allah Ta'ala? Malakul Maut. Now then he says, the Malakul Maut, when Allah Pak was assigning the duties, right? So the Malakul Maut complained to Allah Ta'ala, that, you know, you have assigned a duty to me, O Allah Ta'ala, and everybody is going to be despising me, hating me, but someone's child is taken, someone's wife is taken, someone's father is taken. You know, his only darling child he had, and Malakul Maut took him. Right. So Allah reassures and comforts Malakul, don't worry. People attribute death to the causes, not to you. So you haven't been to a mayat house. People say, no, Malakul Maut took this child. Did you ever hear that? No, he died of bronchitis, or he was sick, whatever, premature, something happened. Don't you hear that?